You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. Christian Speak Talk Radio is a non-profit ministry. We are dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus through our programs and special guests. We exist through the generous support of our listeners. If you are being blessed through this ministry and would like to give a love offering, go to our website and click on our donation page. Your donation will be processed through PayPal. Our prayer is that you may prosper, be in good health, even as your soul prospers. Unto the Lord, for He is
good. When Christians Speak Talk Radio is a 501c3 nonprofit ministry, so all of your gifts to this ministry are tax deductible. So go out to our website, www.whenchristianspeak.com, and click on our donation page. Oh, give thanks unto the
Listen to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio on Blog Talk Radio, iHeartRadio, Spreaker.com. All of our broadcasts are available as podcasts through SoundCloud, YouTube, iTunes, Blueberry.com, Zoom.com, Stitcher.com, Lisbon.com, and BlogTalkRadio.com. To listen to our broadcast by phone, dial 646-478-0660. Again, that number is 646-478-0660. Go visit and like our Facebook page, When Christians Speak Talk Radio. Also be sure to check out Christians Against Suicide and Depression. It's a page dedicated to sharing God's love, encouragement, and hope. There are prayer warriors standing by to receive prayer requests, doing intercession for those under attack by the lie and deception of the devil. We know that the devil came to steal, kill, and destroy, but praise God, Jesus came to set the captives free.
Challenge to change, where transformation begins with you. Change appears to be one of the biggest hindrances to growth in relationships that I have encountered while in ministry. Our focus is usually on someone else and what they have done or are doing to us, instead of us being accountable to God and making sure we're not a stumbling block to ourselves or others. Challenge to Change is about us taking personal responsibility for our Christian walk as we face challenges and issues and how to overcome them through biblical tools and techniques that we will discuss on this show. Everything about this show is encompassed in us depending on the Holy Spirit to edify, enrich, and transform lives by introducing individuals to a personal encounter with God's unconditional love. That is where real transformation begins and ends.
So we're at the point where we've been talking about hope. Now we're talking about maintaining hope. What does maintaining mean? Keep it going. Don't just step it aside, let it go, keep it going. So we talked about God's word in three places. The word needs to be in your heart. That's what you believe. It needs to be in your mouth. That's what you say. It needs to be in your mind, and that's what you think. So if the word is not in all three of those places, then you run into some challenges. It's like overcoming things, a deficit. So if something is not manifested that you're believing for, all you got to do is check in one of those three areas. Am I thinking about what I'm believing for? Am I talking about what I'm believing for? Am I saying the things that I'm believing for? Am I believing the things that I'm believing for? You follow me? So if we drift off, then things won't manifest in our lives in certain areas. So everybody got that? All right, so number two, hold fast to the promise. So see, Nike didn't come up with that. 2,000 years ago, God's word said in Hebrews, let's do it. Remember Nike said, let's just do it? So it said, let's do it, full of belief. What was one of the three? Belief. Confident that we are presentable inside and out. So checking yourself inside that you are full of the word of God. But should it be manifested outside? Should somebody know there's something different about you? Should they know? If we acting just like other folk, who said, if we acting just like other folk, how would somebody know that something happened different in our life? If you cussing folk out like the other folk cussing folk out, I'm going to keep on going. Y'all don't want me to talk about cussing folk out. All right, but check this out. Let's keep a firm grip. Remember I've been talking about holding the word? So remember I've been talking about Daniel chapter 11, verse 32? It talks about if those people, if people know their God, they shall be mighty and do great exploits. Okay? So now I always personalize scripture. I don't just read scripture. I personalize. So let's check out the Hebrew word, Old Testament written in Hebrew, New Testament written in Greek. I checked that word out, what it says about might. Y'all want to hear what it says about might? Y'all listen too, paying attention. The word mighty in the Hebrew means dunamis, like dynamite. But this is what stood out to me. It says inherited ability. So that means the ability was already in you when you accepted Christ. So he implanted in us the ability to be mighty. He didn't create wimps. He created might. Say inherited ability. So I'm only tapping into what he already placed in me. Y'all understand what that means? Capability. I mean, check this out. Ability to perform anything. Say anything. So that's the scripture that I hold on to. No matter what I'm faced with, I hold on to Daniel chapter 11, verse 32. I hold on to it because it said in scripture to me that Paul has the ability to do mighty things and great exploits. So no matter what it looked like, guess what I hold on to? So I look at the situation and then I look at the word. And I say the word has more power than the situation. If you look at sickness, I look at the word, then I look at sickness, and I say, you can't stay here. You look at lack, then you look at the word, and you say, wait a minute, lack can't stay here. No matter, because his name is above what name? Every name. So no matter what you come up with, his name is above it. But you got to have something that you, what do you say? Keep a firm grip on the promises that keep us going. So we can tell when we get in hopelessness because we stop going. Whatever that goal was, we stop going to it. Because it says right there, that keep us going. He always keeps his word. So if he keeps his word, then when I stop believing his word, what happens to me? I stop going. Everybody got it? Take a deep breath. It's all right. So I'm going to ask you something. Oh, I like asking you something. So in a moment of time, Holy Spirit, would you mind showing us an area that has been a trigger for us all our life that caused us to go into hopelessness? Because I'm going to take you through the process. So you write it down. Just slip up your hand real quick and let me know that you got the word that he showed you, that area of your life. I see 1, 2, 3, 4. Write it down, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. So an area that had bothered you. And because the word says that Satan departed for what? A season. So that's how I know this has been plaguing you for your life, because he keeps coming back to it. But we determine how fast he comes back or if he comes back at all. So when he comes back, we want to make sure that we got the word firmly. So he knocks on the door, but we just don't let him in. We don't even look through the peephole. We say, dude, what you doing? Better back up. All right? So everybody got that area? So now I want you to apply that area to maintain the hope. So the first thing you need to do is make sure the word is in three places. In your heart, in your mouth, and in your what? In your mind. So whatever that word was that you got that has been plaguing you for life, you need to make sure that those three things are going on. Everybody got that? Can I get two people to acknowledge what that was that thing that keeps coming back up in your life? One on this side, one on this side. Sam Booth, y'all included on this side. See ya? Self-esteem, okay. All right, got one here. Oh, hold on, Mike, coming your way. So we have a conversational church, so I know this might be unusual to some people, but y'all get to talk back to the pastor in order, okay? Go ahead.
Abandonment.
Abandonment. Okay, so I got abandonment over here, and I got self-esteem over here, okay? You got one? Yes, ma'am. Asthma, okay? All right, got one over here. Mike, coming your way.
Impending loss.
Loss, okay, okay. So let's say catastrophic, thank you. Fair enough? Okay. Something bad is going to happen. I just don't know when. All right, so now let's go back one. So let's say Shell. Let's take Shell. Michelle. I like shorten people's names. I get to them quicker. All right? All right, so now where can Shell put self-esteem? So self-esteem is based off worth, where self-worth is based off him. So we're going to change, first of all, we're going to change the title to self-worth, okay? Self-esteem is based off what I can perform and do. Self-worth is based off who he is, okay? So now, how can we put God's word in Michelle about self-worth in her heart? That's how she believes. In her mouth, that's what she says. In her mind, that's what she thinks. Y'all working with me? All right? So how can we do that? So let's help her out. What scripture can we give her to affect her heart? I got Mike here. I got one right in the back. Okay, all right. Fearfully and wonderfully made. She in agreement, okay?
She's accepted in the beloved.
Accepted in the beloved, okay? And remember what we said, fearfully and wonderfully made? That was when he grabbed us as sperm. Say sperm. And he looked at us and he said, okay, I want her to have this type of lift, this type of eye, this type of hair. And wait a minute, I want to make a little adjustment here. She'll be this tall. So whenever we try to alter what he's done in us, we were fearfully and what made? That means he took his time with us. Okay? So we got a scripture. All right? Say it again. Might come your way. All right, so.
That she's fearfully and wonderfully made.
So what should she be thinking? And go ahead and give her the mic. What should she be thinking in her heart?
That I'm fearfully and wonderfully made.
When she doesn't feel like it, what should she be in her heart?
That I'm fearfully and wonderfully made.
When she doesn't feel like it?
Fearfully and wonderfully made.
When she makes a mistake?
When I'm fearfully and wonderfully made.
When she wake up on the wrong side of the bed? When she look in the mirror and her hair is wild? All y'all looked at me and your hair was wild, right? Okay, all right. So, being a moth?
That I'm fearfully and wonderfully made.
What should she be saying?
That I'm fearfully and wonderfully made.
When she wakes up?
I'm fearfully and wonderfully made.
When she go to bed?
I'm fearfully and wonderfully made.
After she start eating the food?
Fearfully and wonderfully made.
When she drinking her coffee at Starbucks?
Fearfully and wonderfully made.
What should she be thinking?
I'm fearfully and wonderfully made.
What should she be thinking?
I'm fearfully and wonderfully
made. The last thought before she goes to bed?
I'm fearfully and wonderfully made.
Okay, so that's step one in maintaining hope. There should be no other thought than I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Number two. So let's do it. We talked about Hebrews 10:23. Whole, let's do it. Full of belief that she's what? Fearfully and wonderfully made. Confident that we're presentable inside and out. So the outside was, I am dealing with self-worth issues. Inside, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. So it's her job in quoting the scripture to get the outside to match the inside. That means her circumstance, regardless of how it looks, is to line up with what she's believing on the inside. Because see, this is what God does to us. He changes us, Porter, from the inside out. The world deals with the outside in. Follow me? Big difference. So I drive the big car, but I'm insecure. I got the nice house, but I don't know how I'm going to pay for it. You follow me? But God does it from the inside out. Corey, you hear the mic? I hadn't forgot about you.
I was going to say, from the heart of the Father, with the heart, mouth, and mind is, probably one of the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for you to prosper. Okay. So God already knew she would be getting the bonuses,
uh-huh.
the new pay raise. Okay. So God already knew that.
Okay.
So that scripture will kind of work in line with that.
Okay, all right. Let's keep a firm grip on the promises. What's the promise? Fearfully and wonderfully made. Some of y'all are going to take it up for yourself. It's okay. God doesn't make. He got enough word and enough spirit in his word that multiple we can use. Okay? He always keeps his word. So when Michelle doesn't feel like she has self-worth, did he keep his word? When Michelle feels like he kept his word, did he? So he never changes. He's the same yesterday, Dale, to yesterday, today, and forever. All right, number two. Lamentations. Focus on his love and his faithfulness. Our love is fickle. Anybody ever got mad at somebody they love? Y'all raise your hand for real. All right, so everybody, we only got one. We only got two lives in here. No, I'm just joking. But see, he loves us unconditional. That means when we're doing well, does he love us? When we sin, does he love us? Because his love brings us back to repentance. Who said yes, Lord? Who said that? That thing slipped out. Glory to God. It came out. Because we mess up, guys. If we don't mess up, wouldn't need him. So he says, but this I call to mind. So now, is Michelle to call to mind how unworthy she is? Because the focus is on his love. The focus is on his faithfulness. So, but this I call to mind, every scripture I've ever learned on self-worth, every scripture I've ever learned about abandonment, every scripture I've ever learned, I call to mind. So turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, I got a secret for you. You get to determine what you think on. You follow me? So when it says, I call to mind, you get to determine whether you think about worth, about his love, about his faithfulness. So what does faithfulness mean? What does faithfulness mean? Raise your hand if you think you know what faithfulness means. You got one in the back. Keep your hand up.
Consistently believing the right thing.
Ooh, go ahead, Wayne. Right. Consistently believing the right thing. Yes, sir. Wayne said, I believe in faithfulness. Next.
Faithfulness to me means that you can always depend on, rely on, ooh, run to, cling to, that word,
okay,
person.
Uh-huh.
That's what faithfulness means.
Amen. Say it one more time, sir.
Faithfulness means someone that you can rely on, depend on, to run to cling to,
okay,
to believe and to trust.
Amen. So when I'm getting in a challenge, how many of y'all know folk that run from God when they get in trouble? Y'all know anybody like it? Y'all do? Okay. Well, how is that helping you out? You're running from the very source that could help you. Wait a minute, let me rephrase that. You're running from the only source that can help you. Because see, if you're in lack, he can talk to Meredith and say, yeah, Meredith kept her job. And so then she's going to turn around and Meredith, he's going to speak to her and he said, I tell you what. He needs some money. And I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to tell you exactly how much he needs. And then Meredith, because she's a giver, she's going to walk up to Wayne and she's going to say, you know what? Here's $100. What did he need? $100. Because God is faithful. I've had people give me money that don't like me. Say, don't like me. And how do I know? Let me get a piece of paper. Somebody that don't mind. You know, some people funny, like Banana funny about giving you a piece of paper because her notebook has to be perfect. Y'all know people like that? You know, they write real slow. They stay in the line. You know, people come up to me like, I don't know why I'm giving this to you, but the Lord told me. Now, see, this is the money. This is $100. But here you go. I mean, they're slamming in your hand. And I said, well, I thank you that you were obedient to the Lord. Because I know you didn't want to give it to me. I'm serious. But I tell you what, that $100 spent the same way, don't it? Shoot, this is what I do with it in front of them. Y'all ready for this? This is my flesh. Say flesh. I do like it. What's your name? Taylor? Okay. So this is what I do in front of them. I'm whining, Megan. I'm right. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. That's my flesh. Then I repent, all right? What you going to call to mind, guys? Are you going to call to mind the situation? Or are you going to call to mind his love? You're going to call to mind his faithfulness. You're going to call to mind when things looked a certain way and how he took you out of it, how he brought you out of it. And guess what? You were surprised by how he did it because you've been trying to figure it out for a while. Just call to mind. Remember that song we played a few weeks ago about I Remember? I love to play that song. Because we got to look. We get to determine what we think on. And guys, I haven't seen yet where someone who's always thinking about sickness get healed. Because they call to mind every aching pain. Say aching pain. I don't know. Now, that's the difference between a miracle and faith. A miracle is God looking past all our stuff and manifesting a miracle where you didn't have nothing to do with it. Faith is when you're using his word in how many places? Three places to get something done. So see, we would love to have a miracle, but he wants us to walk in faith. Because when we walk in faith, we are believing him despite the situation and circumstance. You don't know when a miracle is going to happen, but you know how to use faith. Therefore, I have hope. See, I call to mind that I believe that this congregation is receiving the word on hope. So when I see somebody napping, I call to mind that people are receiving this word on hope. Oh, y'all keeping each other awake? Okay. Because I got to have hope. I got to have hope that people are getting what God told me. Because I'm hearing the other part. Pastor been talking about this for 12 sessions. What's your name, brother? Morris. Morris? People talking about he been teaching on this for 12 sessions. But I call to mind that the people are getting this word. Because if he's asking me to teach on hope, it's obvious that either people have entered into hopelessness or people are about to go into hopelessness. Because see, we have a God that is always ahead of time. I don't believe that stuff where on time, God. Now, he's ahead of time. He was waiting on you to call on him and to call to mind that he's never left you. He's never forsaken you. He's always been there. You know, the amazing thing about counseling is when I take people back to the trauma or where they've been, once they find out that he was there, everything comes to a place of peace. They don't ask why didn't he stop it. They just have always thought that he wasn't there. But he's never left us, never forsaken us. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Y'all understand what that means? So when we good, his love never ceases. When we special, his love never ceases. When we don't pray, his love never ceases. When we pray, his love never ceases. When we don't read his word, his love never ceases. When we read his word, his love never ceases. When we go to church, his love never ceases. When we don't go to church, his love never ceases. But everything he's asked us to do is for our good, not for his good. You follow me? His mercies never come to an end. So grace is when I what? Get what I don't deserve. Mercy is when I don't get what I do deserve. Where Jasmine at? Oh, she just, okay. You know, we talked about a speeding ticket. Doing 80 or 82? 80 and a 60. Okay? And what showed up? Huh? Grace showed up. Because grace said what? Okay, so a speeding ticket, you 80, that's supposed to be reckless. They didn't put reckless. So mercy showed up and said she could have got, but she didn't get what she did deserve. Yeah. So, you know, we just thank God for that. Just don't do it again. Just be on time. Okay? His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. What was one of the characteristics of hopelessness? Was fortune-telling, where you predict the worst possible outcome. But his word right there said, they are new every morning. So his mercies, when I don't get what I do deserve, is new every morning. So can that give us hope? If I'm looking at the fact that how, no matter how bad Audrey yesterday was, he's saying today is a new day. Now, either I, Dale, can embrace the new day, or I can live in the old day. How many of you guys can drive going forward looking back? Some of y'all, I haven't seen y'all try to do it. Okay? And you just get all the way, Megan. You just step aside. We got to look forward. So we got something to look forward to, knowing that every morning, the mercies. So the mercy didn't run out yesterday. He added some more to it. Follow me? Everybody got it? Now, what was one of the other ones? Abandonment, right? So I was abandoned as a little girl. But because today is a new day, can I get what I lost? Can I go forward with what he says? Because he said, it's a new day, a new morning. So he says every morning. So he don't wait to midnight and start over again. He said every morning. So this morning, I'm going to look to the fact that he has adopted me in the beloved. This morning, I'm going to grab on to the fact that I can forgive. How many of us find it a challenge to forgive? Y'all just be honest. Amen, amen, amen. I'm talking to the right congregation. So write this down. I told Thursday night crowd this. Who said certain vote? Wayne said certain vote. Y'all put your finger at him. Certain, he said certain vote. What is it about certain vote? Give me a mic. Give me a mic right here. Miss Bella, you know I got to pick on them. I got to find out more information. Don't y'all want to know who the certain folk are?
I think it's easier when the person is like repentant, but the person has no idea and they just continue and they're being, I'm just going to do what I want to do.
Okay.
That's when I find it's kind of like a challenge.
Okay, all right. Anybody else find a challenge when they don't repent? I got Mike coming your way. Hold on, Mike coming your way. Who else? I got one in the back. Raise your hand, ma'am, so that way she can see you.
I would say from experience, what he
Wayne,
just to piggyback off what he was saying, certain folks, I always been the type of person, you know, with a real forgiving heart.
Okay.
But you know, sometimes you're like the closest people to you. You know, when it hurts you, or you feel like they shouldn't, you know, do certain things to hurt you and so forth. On, sometimes it can be a little bit more harder to forgive them.
Okay.
I guess right away, you know, sometimes you take a little longer, you know.
Okay. All right.
But that has been my experience, you know.
Okay,
but ultimately, you know, I forgive him.
Well, you say in time?
Yes, sir.
In time?
Yeah. What? You don't want to wait too long, though.
Okay. So what's the longest y'all waited to forgive somebody? I got you, Cheryl. Hold on a second. I got you. What's the longest? 40 years. Okay. I think you got it, sister. You're only 42 years old, so you... I think she got the record. Anybody beat 40? Anybody be brother laughing, shaking his head. He's shaking his head. He's like, 40, yes. I appreciate your honesty. Michelle?
In the past.
See, y'all want to put it on the past. Yeah. Nicole, you hear me?
The repeat offenders.
Oh, the repeat offenders. Okay.
Before I can even forgive you for the last thing you did, you done something else.
Ooh. Y'all ever encountered that? Okay. Wayne putting his hand up real quick now. He said, Pastor might ask me to explain something. Okay. The repeat offenders. So I got a question for you. What is it about us? Say us. Touch yourself. Okay? What is it about us that keep allowing the repeat offender to repeat? And congregation, go quiet. Okay? I got one right here. Because remember, write this down. Frustration is small things over time. Okay? Who said that? Sister, you're in the right place. Right? Frustration is small things over time. I've never seen a marriage end because of one incident. It's small things over time. Okay?
We wanted to see it work out the way we thought.
Oh, ooh, we want to see it work out the way we thought. Okay, all right. Okay. So you're trying to keep hope alive. Okay. All right. Anybody got? Yes, sir.
The boundary line hasn't been set up.
The boundary line. So what would that look like, Corey?
So it might be certain people you can only spend 20 minutes with, okay, instead of an hour or 2 hours,
okay,
with.
Okay.
So there might be that boundary line you have to set up.
Okay. All right. So you need to set a boundary line. So don't set a wall. Say wall. Do like it's wall. Okay. Because the thing about the wall is you can't get out and nobody else can get in. If you set the wall up. And guess what else about the wall? I need to share this with you so that way you'll know. Also, I pay for what someone else did to you when you put the wall up. If you mad at all light, you mad at one light-skinned man that got an afro, okay? The next light-skinned man shows up with an afro, say he gonna catch it. If you have a wall. I've been judged based off being a pastor because of the last church someone might have gone to where it was a light-skinned pastor. You mad at me because you didn't resolve it with him. That's what happened when you set up a wall. Okay? But if you set up a boundary, the boundary is specific about you and not about them. So if you late all the time, y'all know people that late? Say late. How many of y'all know people that late all the time? Okay. So you invite them for lunch. Let's get together for lunch. 12 o'clock. 12 o'clock. Devin, we're going to do lunch. 12 o'clock. Now, they're profilers. They're always late, right? You walk in the restaurant, and the restaurant say, are you expecting two? Say, yes. They say, do you want to wait for them? You say, no. Oh, people getting tense about this one. Y'all know some late people? I'm just talking about lunch. I'm looking at the clock. Okay? So you go ahead, and maybe you can call them in advance. Say, look, I'll be there at 12. You agreed to 12. Do you want me to order you anything? And you order them food. You can do that if you want. And then you sit down, and when they show up at whatever time, then your food is already there. Why should you have an attitude? The profile is, I'm still looking at the clock. I'm going to stop looking through the audience. Making it, I'm not looking at nobody. Okay? Okay. So stop allowing ourselves to be frustrated by the same thing that continues. You follow me? You can set a boundary. A boundary says, so the thing about a wall is nobody gets out, nobody gets in. But everybody pays. But when you set a boundary, what happens is you're setting the boundary on yourself. You follow me? So it has nothing to do with them. It's on yourself. So when you do such and such, I am going to do this. So when you cuss at me, I'm not going to stand there and listen. Now, I've already told you, I prefer if you don't cuss at me. But if you continue to, I'm going to walk away. I'm not going to meet you for lunch no more. You follow me? So you can continue to do what you want, but the boundary says I have already set up something for myself. You follow me? All right. So let's keep going. What kind of morning are we going to get? But if I take yesterday's issues into the next day's morning, God did his job. I just chose not to do mine. Follow me? All right. Now let's talk about God in your heart. Write this down. Your heart is responsible for what you do, what you say, and who you are. Your heart is responsible for what you do, what you say, and who you are. That's why it's so important to guard your heart, because if you're used to dealing with chaotic people, if you don't guard your heart, what are you going to do? Become chaotic. What are you going to say? Talk chaotic. Who are you going to become? Become chaotic. So if you don't guard your heart, that thing is responsible. And I'm not talking about this physical pump. I'm talking about the spiritual part of us. So that's why he says guard your heart. Because if you don't guard your heart, you become like the people you process, deal with. Some people just love stuff. Y'all know people like that? Yeah. Just love stuff. They come to you. You say good morning. What's good about it? I don't like you anyway. So So he tells us to be anxious for nothing. If I don't guard my heart, what am I going to put in my heart? Anxiety. If I put anxiety in my heart, what am I going to think about? Anxiety. Then what will I become? Full of anxiety. Be not anxious or worried about anything, but in everything. Maybe in a few things. Is that what it said? But in everything. Every circumstance and situation, by prayer and petition. By prayer and petition. That means I'm praying about it and I'm thanking him for it because it says with thanksgiving. I'm supposed to pray about everything that comes my way, but I'm also supposed to thank him for it. Wayne, can you hand me your iPhone for a second? Thank you. I'm thanking him for what I just received. So, do I thank him for it again if I already received it? I can. Wayne, thank you so much for this expensive iPhone, man. I really appreciate it. Thank you. But I don't ask for him again because he already gave it to me. That's where we miss it in Scripture, guys. We keep praying about the same thing. If I believed I received it, that's why I asked this congregation to put a time and date stamp on it. Because when you put a time and date stamp on it, all you got to do is go back to the time and date stamp. Father, I want to thank you that on such and such day, at such and such time, that's when I believe I received the promise you gave me. Because the person who wins in court is the one who has the most evidence. So you got to slam them with the evidence. When you don't feel like you're healed, you go back to on 4/7/19 at 1 o'clock a.m., I received my healing. Achoo! On 4/7/19 at 1 o'clock, that's when I received my healing. Achoo! On 4/7/19 at 1 o'clock, that's when I received my healing. That's holding fast to the confession. You don't hold fast to the problem. Uh-oh, no, I didn't. You hold fast to the promise. Because we're taking what's spiritual and changing what's natural. I enjoyed it. Continue to make your specific request known to God. People want to change that thing, man. It's the way it is. See, his laws are different than our laws. We can take anything that we see and we can change it. You got a wayward child, say wayward. I don't even know where that word came from. Anyway, you can change the situation. You can take lack and you can see it and you can speak abundance. We just finished with Dave Ramsey. Porter did an excellent job teaching that. Finances, people's finances have started to change. So we can take what we see and use his word, and it has to bow to that, to his name. Check this out. Continue to make your specific request made known to God. It didn't say keep talking to the person to get them to change. It says keep talking to God to get them to change. Can I give y'all a flag? All right. So whenever you go to God about your issue, about your, I'm going to look at the clock. Whenever we go to God about an issue, a person in our life, he's going to deal with you about your issue before he deals with them about theirs. Hello? Hello? What my dear say? Hello? You follow me? So then as he's dealing with us about our issue that we talked about them with, then as our issue gets straight, still looking at the clock, as he's dealing with us about our issue that we complained about them, then as our heart starts to change, then he starts to deal with them about their issue with us. Amen? Can y'all take a deep breath? Take a breath. Just take a breather, Porter. Take a breather. Okay? Y'all got it? So my wife talked to me about something one time. That's all she did, one time. Paul, you know, this is the area that, you know, you need to make some adjustments on. Well, I don't want to make the adjustment. Yeah, I get smacked when I say that. No, just joking. But she'll come to me, say, hey, look, you know, we know each other. I know I got my own issues. Because, you know, first thing people are going to say is, well, you do such and such. Okay, just own it. Say own it. Own it. Turn to the neighbor and say own it. Own it. Okay? So what happens, she'll come to me and she'll say, hey, you know, this is an area that, you know, I think that if you make the adjustment in that area, you could go further, live easier, such and such, such and such. But how many times she going to talk to me about it? Once. Say once. How many times we know I'm talking to people? She said a lot. It just came out. 17 times. And then she go to God about me. She go to God. She have a scripture she stand on. Time, date, stamp. And then I know I changed. I say, you've been praying about it happening. You've been praying about it happening. And she just smiled. Yes, I have. Guys, we don't get what we nag for. We get what we believe for. Click, 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 click. We don't get what we nag for. We get what we believe for. Because I'm telling you, there's something about nagging folk. They shift up on you. Y'all ever seen somebody shift up on you when you nag them? I ain't no do such a thing. All right, I'm going to keep on going. But I just want to remind you to talk to God about it. And the peace. So I'm going to tell you how we got to get peace. And do not be anxious or worried about anything, but in everything, every circumstance and situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, thank him for what you already believe you see. And then, and the peace of God that passes, the peace which reassures the heart, that peace which transcends all understanding. You won't understand how they changed, but you gave it to God. Transcends all understanding. I don't know how I've changed until I changed. But I know my wife brought it up once. And then she took it to God. She said, I'm not going to be anxious about it. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to believe God, because God is going to transcend my understanding. That peace withstands guard over your heart. What kind of? Y'all ever, was that at a cookout or something, and a net or a fly came around? And you started doing like that because you didn't have a fly swatter? That's how peace stands guards over your heart. Situation come up, you do like that. Wait a minute, hold on. I'm not going to let this thought come in. I'm not going to feel this way. Get away from me. Then you get the raid out. The word of God, and you start spraying. But you got to start spraying. Don't let it grab onto you, guys. It's a lot easier to proact instead of react. It's a lot easier. Because, guys, that heart has so much in it. It has your prayer life is in it. Your thought life is in it. Your rest is in it. Your peace is in it. Everything that you have need of is in your heart. And I'm not talking about this heart. I'm talking about the spiritual heart. So that's why the enemy is always after your heart, Madeline. Because if he gets your heart, he gets your life. And the thing about it, Teresa, is it's so gradual, you don't know that it's being done. I'm talking to somebody. I'm still looking at the clock. Stand guard over your heart. And what else? What did we say? And number one, needs to be in your mouth, in your heart, and in your thoughts. Heart and mind in Christ Jesus is yours. All right, that's four. Number five, watch your speech. Let's read that one together. Watch your speech. Let's read it together. Let your speech at all times be gracious and pleasant and seasoned with salt, so that you will know how to answer each one who questions you. Now, because the word of God is alive and I personalize that, I read that for me. How many of our self-talk is ugly to ourselves? Amen? So the next time you want to talk ugly to yourself, I want you to think about the fact that I'm supposed to be gracious with myself. I'm supposed to be pleasant with myself. I am supposed to put seasoned salt on my thoughts and my language to myself. I am supposed to answer myself with his word. If I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, then I'm supposed to answer that when the situation comes up that says, you dumb, you stupid, you'll never amount to anything. Instead of me repeating that, I'm supposed to make sure that my words to myself is seasoned with salt, it's gracious, it's pleasant, so that I'll know how to answer me. Because who are you with all the time? I laugh at the fact when people say, man, I've had a whole lot of challenges. I'm going on vacation. If you didn't resolve that issue before you went on vacation, guess what you took with you? That issue. Okay? But if you resolve it before you go, then you enjoy your vacation. I made it a point because in times past, Sharon, this is what happened. I'm getting ready to go on vacation, maybe a short vacation. Some special people will come up with some special issues. So I'll say, we'll talk about it after I come back. Because as you, how many of y'all, you all know, when you get ready to go on vacation, you got to do a whole lot more work getting ready for it. So I don't want that stuff. You're already stressing to get some stuff done. And then somebody say some special stuff to you. So then I say, okay, we'll meet after I get back. You follow me? Because I want to make sure that I'm gracious and I'm pleasant. And what I say to me is seasoned with salt. So I don't know how to answer me. Y'all follow me? Guys, this thing's serious. People beat themselves up. They give everybody else grace but them. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, is that true about you? That's true? Amen. All right? Give yourself some grace. Give yourself some pleasure. In Christ. Say pleasure in Christ. Because some of y'all, I just saw y'all drinking. I saw you at the club. So watch what you speak. Watch what you say. Number six, trust him to complete it. Say, trust him to do what? So you think you got to complete it. I am convinced and confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work, what kind of work? So he doesn't do shabby work. He does good work. And you will continue to perfect and complete it. How much time we got? Until the day of Christ Jesus, the day of his return. This thing might get completed the day Christ returns. But let him do the good work in us. Meaning that when he tells us to do something, let's do what he tells us to do. He tells us to do this, then don't do that. Do what? This. Because he's guiding us in the direction where he wants us to be. You are right now where God ordained you to be. I got a friend coming down from Maryland. Raise your hand, LaShawn. Do you think that she lives in Maryland? But she's here today. So there's something that God, only God wanted her to hear today that she couldn't hear from anybody else. So he began that work. But see, we got to be obedient when he calls us. When he says, do this, what are you supposed to do? Do it. When he says, say this, what are you supposed to say? If God puts somebody on your heart, Top Gun, when God puts somebody on your heart, then what are you supposed to do? Do what if he showed you somebody and you don't know him and think about this verse, say, I don't even think about it. Then you got to reach out to him because there's a reason. And guess what? It shocks them because they don't think about you either. And then when you call them and you say, hey, I was just thinking about you. And what they're going to say? You say, well, is everything okay? What they're going to say? Everything fine. And then just stay there for second, just go silent on. You know, like when you're in sales. How many of y'all are in sales? The person who speaks after that wins. So you don't even say anything. Well, I've been thinking about you. Is there anything I can pray for you? I always go prayer first. Is there anything I can pray with you about? And then they'll start opening up. And then you can share with, well, I wasn't even thinking about you, and your face just came up. Because, see, people don't think people think about them. You follow me? Right, Meredith? I call Meredith my hobby. Hey, Meredith, I saw your face. Well, Pastor. Life with Christ is an endless hope, meaning that we never run out of hope as long as we stay in him. But life without Christ is a hopeless end. It just gets worse and worse and worse. So I want to end, guys, with this song about joy. This is a choice.
This concludes today's message on Challenge to Change, where real transformation begins with you, with Pastor Paul Morgan. If you are ever in the Richmond, Virginia area, join Pastor Paul for Sunday service at 10 a.m. at Chosen Generation Ministries. The website is www.chosenrva.com or call at 866-333-9505.